This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us today. And on today's podcast, we're going to be chatting some Ironman nutrition. We head back to New Zealand to catch up with Rob Dallimore to find out a little bit more about his nutrition strategy when it comes to the sport of Ironman. And as we head towards another weekend and towards the festive season, if you're celebrating Christmas just over a week away, as we record this. And I must say, it's been a bit of a weird week for me here at the Kona Edge. It's been a busy time. We had our In Transition with Carl Buckingham today. Thanks to everyone who did join us. It was a pretty cool session. If you were on it, if you missed out, sorry. But it's got me thinking this week, and the Kona Edge has been going for just over 2 years. We celebrated our second birthday just a couple of weeks ago, and it got me thinking that I haven't had a vacation in a long, long time. So I'm debating about whether to take some time off or not. Unfortunately, with my real day job, I don't get any paid vacations, so I'm pretty much working right through. I think I may have Christmas Day off. I haven't found out yet, which is not cool because considering it is the 14th of December, maybe I should actually find out. But I think we may actually be working right the way through once again this year. And yeah, I'm just feeling knackered. I don't know if you are at this time of the year. My brain is absolutely fried. I can't string a sentence together at the best of times. And just feeling like I need a break. So I'm contemplating taking a break with the Kona Edge for a couple of weeks. I haven't quite decided whether I should or should not. So if you want me to continue, please pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. If I don't hear from people, then I guess you don't really mind. But as much as I love doing the podcast, I think also sometimes we do need to take a break from things. And I'm contemplating taking a bit of time off. If you want me to continue, I do have a couple sort of banked up that I can release pretty much in one go so that we can get a bit of a break. But let me know your thoughts. Would you mind me taking some time off? Would you miss the podcast if it stopped for a little while? Be in touch. brad@thekonaedge.com. That is my email address. Coming up on the other side of our Coach's Corner today, we head to New Zealand to catch up with Rob. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Peak Triathlon Coaching. Peak Triathlon Coaching is a triathlon coaching company helping multi-sport athletes take their training to the next level and achieve their multi-sport goals. All of Peak's coaches are age group athletes themselves, so they understand the challenges of training with full-time jobs, busy family lives, and the other unique dynamics of life. They thrive on helping their athletes optimize their training time and assist with all aspects of the journey to their races. Whether you need help training for your first triathlon, want to tackle a new distance, or want to qualify for Kona, Peak and their experienced staff can help you get there. Over the years, they've helped athletes cross hundreds of Ironman finish lines, helped them achieve all kinds of different goals, including podium finishes in Kona and age group nationals. Based in the US, Peak Triathlon Coaching helps athletes around the world. Their economic pricing makes them an excellent option for athletes of all levels. Head over to peaktricoaching.com now and set up your free consultation to see how they can help you become the best athlete you can be while having fun doing it. You can also head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching to find out more. Time to chat some nutrition. We head back to the North Island in New Zealand to catch up with Rob Dallimore, who's in Auckland. Rob, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brad.
Rob, it's good to catch up. You mentioned something in our first chat with regards to how you struggled with stress fractures over your triathlon career and how you've dialed it down to it being about your nutrition. We've spoken a fair amount about stress fractures, funnily enough, not from a nutrition point of view, and it's something that you think you've pretty much figured out is all down to a nutrition.
Yeah. I mean, I spent, obviously, being a podiatrist, I had a good understanding of biomechanics and run gait and you know, running injuries. And I was happy that nothing I was doing in my running was contributing to my stress fractures. My run volume wasn't out of control. My footwear was always of the best. I've always been sponsored by New Balance, so I've always had the right shoes on my feet. But there was something that was missing, and it took me a while to talk before I really figured it out. And I was talking to my sports doctor at the time when he sort of said to me, "Oh, what do you do? What do you have after a run or a training session to recover?" And I said, "Oh, I go to the bakery and I have a donut and I get a can of Coke and a bottle of chocolate milk." He said, I think we found your problem." And he sort of explained to me the issue of acidity and our diets and how much that can affect bone health. And it was so simple. It was, he basically said to me, "Well, you just need to start having more alkaline food, which generally green-based food. So, you know, I have a green drink, green smoothie, spinach and kale and celery, those sorts of things. But still, we're making sure there was carbohydrate and protein going into my diet as well. But just something that would lower the acidity of my blood. And obviously, Coke and milk and sugary food wasn't going to do that. It was going to have the opposite effect. So as soon as I got on top of that, my stress fracture problems just didn't come back. So maybe it was coincidence, but I don't think it was. I think that was the big contributing factor for me.
That's interesting. I mean, looking at the work you do in podiatry now, is it a case of, I mean, if somebody comes across and sees you and they've struggled with repeated stress fractures, would you suggest that they look in their diet as well? And I understand that there's biomechanic issues and overtraining that causes stress fractures, but I think nutrition and diet is very well overlooked when it comes to stress fractures.
I mean, I've got a pretty low body mass, so there's not a lot of muscle on me to take a lot of the shock absorption as well when I'm running. So a lot of that impact goes through the bone, and also I was pretty flexible through my ankles, and a lot of hyperflexibility through the ankle is a massive contributing factor to lower tibial stress fractures. So there were a few other things that were contributing to that as well. So obviously looking at the surrounding circumstances and the sort of athlete you're dealing with. But as a podiatrist, I would always, even as a triathlon coach now, I'm always saying to the person, have we looked at the diet? That's something that needs to be considered in any injury, really. And so I would refer them on to a sports nutritionist immediately. Even if there was just a little bit of doubt, I still think it's better to do that than to play hit and miss for a while and hope that we get the right thing.
Absolutely. As far as your day-to-day approach to nutrition, talk to me a little bit about your everyday living and your sort of style and approach to things.
So I'm not the best, and I do fall off the wagon a little bit, and I do fall back into a bad diet sometimes, and my wife's very good at reminding me that. So I have to be a little bit careful. I need to eat a lot of food. But I need to eat a lot of good quality food. So, I eat a lot of eggs in the morning. but not usually before training. I'll normally have a keto. I've got a keto based product, which I have in my coffee, which is basically like a bulletproof coffee. And I'll have that before training. And then when I come home from training, I load up on carbohydrates and protein. So I'll have my eggs, scrambled eggs for breakfast and some toast. And then, I move into my normal diet for the day. I normally get a salad, decent sized salad with some chicken or what have you on it. I might have a treat then as well. I might have a scone or a croissant at lunch. And then, obviously this is my training diet between that. If I've done a session before lunch or after lunch, whatever I have then, and then through to dinner, I make sure I have a decent sized meal at dinner as well. So I just try and avoid myself getting hungry. Some of the problems back in the days when I had my injuries was that I would find myself getting really, really hungry at sort of by 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think that was the problem, because I'd then go out for a run and I was just running hungry on a depleted system. So I'm trying to avoid that now, and that seems to have been the big help.
As far as race day nutrition goes, talk to me about the way you approach an Ironman.
So I've got a pretty good stomach, so I can pretty much take anything on. You can hand a pizza at me halfway through the marathon, I'll probably be able to eat it. but I have started using a product called Prove It, which is a ketone drink, and I had two bottles loaded with it this year in Kona, and on my bike, and within the first 20 km, both bottles had been blown out the back of my bike when I hit the had a couple of cat's eye on the road. So my nutrition plan for Kona went out the door about 20 km into the ride. So from then on, I was just drinking Gatorade and eating and having gels off the course. So my original nutrition plan was going to be this bulletproof, rock solid plan that was not going to fail and was going to be the best plan ever, and it didn't work. So I had to go to the old pull off the course stuff, which works all right because I have no problem eating and drinking that sort of stuff. But you know, I would like to have been able to rely more on my planned nutrition.
Are you one who sort of sticks to the watch? Do you know exactly what you're having and how often you're having?
No, I normally go by feel. I used to go by the watch, but then sometimes I just felt like I couldn't. If I needed to take a gel, my watch was telling me I needed to. And sometimes it just didn't feel like it was the right time. And so if I shove one down me, I feel sick the next 20 minutes. So now I generally have a guideline. And as long as I'm always eating or drinking something every 10 or 15 minutes or so, then I know I'm on the right track. But whether I have a gel 1 minute and then maybe 20 minutes later, I might have half a bar. Another, you know, 20 or so minutes later, I might have some Cliff Blocks, or what have you. It's just, I just try to have something that my body wants me to have, not that I sort of plan to have, on a schedule. And I think it works better for me.
Sounds brilliant. So what's your go-to after a tough race? Are you one who sort of lets go and hangs out on the dark side straight after the race?
well, me and my mates after Kona this year, we all, plan to go up to a restaurant upstairs above the finish line and have a beer and a massive burger and a plate of chips, and all three of us could have half a beer and half a burger and only had about four chips. So we all had this great plan of having this massive meal and none of us had it. So yeah, generally I try to just get whatever in me I want, but strangely enough, after an Ironman, you don't really want to eat so much food.
No. Well, Rob, it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time today on the Kona Edge. Much appreciated. We look forward to following your progress and seeing how you go in the years to come.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks.
I'm guessing that the Kona Edge is not the only podcast you listen to. If you're anything like me, you probably listen to a ton of different podcasts. I think at the moment I have 10 or 15 go-tos that I listen to every single week. And if you listen to a lot of podcasts, at some stage you've probably thought about starting your own. Well, the good news is it's easier than you think. ThePodcastingAcademy.com is giving you the opportunity to get your own podcast started right now. The Podcasting Academy is a 21-day, step-by-step online program that will get you from zero to podcast in just 3 weeks. Right now, thepodcastingacademy.com is offering listeners of the Kona Edge a 25% discount. All you need to do is use the word Kona at checkout to qualify. Head over to thepodcastingacademy.com to find out more. And that's it for today's podcast. A quick iTunes review that came through just a couple of days ago as well from France. And funnily enough, I think it's our first one from France that we've got in, from Ian Bach. Thank you very much, Ian Bach, saying on this spot, giving us a 5-star review, saying thanks for helping me prepare for my first Kona through experience, feedbacks, tips, and broad basis. I thought I was going to move on after the race, but to the contrary, I'm even more hooked when I commute by car now. I can relate to all the comments. Many thanks for keeping the Kona dream alive. Well, Ironbach, thank you, and congratulations to you for racing on the Big Island. Pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. I'd love to find out a little bit more about you and your experience on the Big Island, okay? I'd love to hear from you, so get onto the mail. brad@thekonaedge.com. Come straight to me. That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening once again. We're back again tomorrow with another edition. Until then, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.
Don't forget, if you'd like to access the commercial-free feed of the Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support, become a patron, and you'll get access to that feed right away.